Praise God, everybody. You know, the Bible says that if one of us are hurting, all of us are hurting. It says if one of us is blessed, all of us are blessed. Some of us could be hurting in here, and some of us could be blessed in here, but we're one for all and all for one. Better than the three stooges. Not the three stooges, but the three musketeers. I was looking at my sister Mary, and three stooges just came out of my head. I was remembering one time I was watching the three stooges, and she was pregnant with Melissa. And she came in there and changed it on a soap opera, and I tried to strangle her after that. My mother said, no, she's pregnant. Leave her alone. But I thank God that we're not squabbling over small things anymore. And I thank God that the last time I spoke on Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. And, you know, the Bible right there talks about that if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit life eternal and everlasting things. But if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption and you're going to reap death. And, you know, I've sowed to the flesh. I've made some bad decisions and I've reaped. You know, no man ever sins and gets away with it. You will pay for your sins. You are far better off if you come to an altar and confess your sins and get Jesus and day by day work out your salvation. Amen? And in Philippians 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, there's a few verses I didn't use last time, and I have a little bit of a new message, but, you know, worry and anxiety is just a problem. It's a problem in this world. I go to a job 4 days a week, and every day when I go there, they have a new list of demands, a new list of rules, and they go over them and over them and over them, and they're hoping that we get that. But then by the time you get one, they come up with another one, and they're hoping that we get that. And, you know, all I know to do it sometimes is, you know, because people are worried and so stressed out. And when I see people that are worried, pastors notice the little kids in his family, in this church, that are stressed out over Christmas, and we retch out and bless them. But in the world where I work, some of these people ain't Christians, some of them are Christians, but they're stressed out to the max. And you know, the devil wants to put on us so much stress that we don't even take time to just enjoy the blessings of God. To just be thankful for what good God's doing. Because every day in my life, God is doing something good. Every time I wake up with my beautiful wife around and she hasn't strangled me, knocked me in the head, or poisoned my food or something, it's a day to praise God and worship the Lord. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pastor was giving this great example about, look at all these little cheers. And, you know, I bet there'll be another one that comes in that may be a whammer jammer and a deal. And got to say, hey, that's the one I want you to get. We're voting for the purple one so far. That purple one looks the prettiest to me. But, I mean, there's going to be a pretty one. I mean, I prophesy there'll be a better one and a better deal. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. This is your life. You know, when I go to work and I got a bad attitude because I feel like I've got cheated or ripped off or I didn't get the vacation days that I got and I go with a bad attitude, that's my fault for having a bad attitude. They told me the other day I got a possibility of making $175 more every 3 months. All I got to do is show up every day. Cindy says I like to call in more than anybody else, so there goes that gig. No more of that gig. And then they're going to give us a 50-cent raise, but instead of being able to mess like 9 to 15 days, you only got 4 days every 6 months or 5 days you can mess. You know, I sat there and I thought about it. If I'm going to work every day, I'm going to get more money right there just showing up if I don't mess. They're going to give me another 50-cent an hour. I'm going to get that, and they're going to pay me for being there every day. Extra bonus. This is a win-win situation, but while I was at work, there was people worried, oh, I'm going to lose my job. They're trying to get rid of us. Now they're trying to get rid of people that ain't showing up for work. And like my boss that told me, he said, this is not going to affect anybody here because none of you guys mess that much. But there was people that was worried about something that was really non-existent. All they had to do was just follow the program. And sometimes the devil puts garbage on you because he's got you thinking you can't follow God's program, and he's got you worried about stuff that ain't even going to happen. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Anybody like God's peace? Which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. You know, this is how you keep that peace. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You know, sometimes when things look like they're going to run low or they're going to run slow or I'm not going to make it, I find somebody that hasn't got enough and I try to sow a seed. You know, because it says, be not deceived, whatever you sow, you're going to receive. So if it's looking like you're going to run slack or something's going to slow down, you need to do something about it. God gives you his word to do something about it. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, does anybody labor in here and ever get tired of laboring? If you're in a ministry and deal with people, you'll get tired sometimes. The Word of God says in Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. Peace. You know, you ever lay down and you're sick and your head's all clogged up and it takes some medicine and you think that's going to help you, but it doesn't help you. It sort of speeds you up or something, and then you're laying there tossing and turning and you can't sleep and you can't breathe. I mean, when I think of not resting, that's the worst kind of not resting I can think about. Or if you're anxious or worried or something's not going to work out, something about your kids. Man, I got some kids out in California. They're in the land of fruits and nuts. Man, if I wanted, you think my hair is gray now? If I worried about them as much as I figured my mom worried about me, I wouldn't have no hair at all. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When I lay down, I say, Lord, I'm here for that rest you're talking about. At the end of the day, sometimes I'll just go home before I go to my other job and I'll say, Lord, I need some of that rest you're talking about. And I'll lay down and just take a power nap for an hour. I think I might have got a 10-15 minute power nap during the services. But whatever I get from God, it's good. Now, I don't know what all the ruckus was about here this morning, but when my mom started singing Aerosmith's song, Steven Tyler, about Walk This Way and forgiveness and anti-drugs, I was thinking, what's going on here, you know? Remember when she used to take the records away from us and try to make us throw them away and stuff? We had our own set of rock records we would hide and stuff. And Mommy found them. They was of the devil, you know? But in Isaiah 10 and verse 27, and back to 11:28, real quick. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If something feels hard in life, if you're having problems on your job, if you're having stress-related problems with anything, if you're worried about going to California and getting on a plane and driving with Sam McElhaney here in about 6 weeks in that nice Toyota Camry that I just secured today at Las Vegas Airport, if you're worried about that, you need to get the yoke of Jesus on you. In Isaiah 10 and 27, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest to your soul. But in Isaiah 10 and 27 says, the latter part of the verse, the anointing shall destroy the yoke, and the anointing breaks the yoke. You know, sometimes we got fears on our lives. Sometimes we got bondages, sins that want to come, lust, pornography, just anger. Man, anybody ever deal with anger? That you're angry at somebody and you just can't get over it? Man, God tells us we got to love them people too. You know, and I always think, man, I'd rather forgive them down here on earth. Because heck, man, if I don't forgive them down here on earth and I just barely make it to heaven, God might put that dude next door to me forever. And then, so I try to straighten that out. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And when I think about a race, I don't look like a runner, but I like wearing those clothes, you know, those nice Nike jogging-looking clothes and a nice Nike shirt, you know, some Nike shoes. I like looking like a runner, but when it comes down to meeting everybody at the track and doing the walking thing, what? But now I have one over there a time or two. But, you know, there's a race that we're running, and, you know, there's another force that's trying to keep us from running the race. And a few times lately I've been at the right place at the right time. One of them was when somebody called me and they said that their sister was passing away with cancer and could I go over and pray. They didn't even give me the right address. I was at the wrong place for about 15 minutes till I called them and said, hey, I'm over here at this house. And they go, oh, I just found out they don't live there no more. They're over here on such and such street. I felt like, am I really supposed to be doing this? You know, here, I'm the preacher leaving church, going to pray for somebody's relative. And I can't even find the right place. And I get over there, and here's this lady, and she's laying on her deathbed, and she's passing away with cancer. And I said, would you like to make your peace with God? And when I looked at her face was all just stressed out, just in pain and in torment. And she said, yes, I would. And so I took her by the hand and I just led her into sinner's prayer. And she asked Christ into her life to forgive her for her sins. And I've seen this happen several times before, but her face went from that worry and that tormented look to just this look of peace and this little ray of light. And, you know, right that moment, I knew that I was at the right place at the right time. And I laid my hands on her. I prayed for her. Now, 7 or 9 days later, she was already ate up with cancer. Just a few months earlier, she was up having life with her family. You know, they had their grandma, they had their mom. And then this come upon her, and it was already in her. But she made her peace with God. And, you know, sometimes I feel like yesterday I wanted to get up, and I said, man, we got the sweethearts banquet next week. I got my cars pretty well loaded. There's clothes in my shed already to put in. There's a big thing of blankets Pastor gave me. I mean, I got a bunch of stuff already. And I thought, man, I could probably make a trip and run it up here and then run back here again. But I just felt like God said, stay at home and relax. Stay at home. And Pastor called me and told me Brother Jimmy was at the nursing home passing away and some of their family was there. And I thought he was in Boonville. And, man, I know my wife likes KFC, so I thought, well, we'll run over there. This would be like a win-win situation. We'll get to pray with Brother Jimmy and see the fam, and we'll get to eat at KFC and stock up a little chicken for Sunday. And we got over there to Boonville, and they had moved him over to Paris, but we still ate at KFC, so that wasn't a lose-lose situation, you know. But when I got over there, and they had left for a minute, and I looked at them, and I just started talking about the time me and Pastor had went there recently, and Pastor had asked him, was his life right with God? Did you want to make your life right with God? Have you ever done that? And he said, no, my life's not right with God. And now he was laying there, and he was breathing, and he wasn't at a talking thing, but I always know that if you're still in your spirit, still there, he can hear what's going on, and I started reminding him of that. And I reminded him of that gospel music we was listening to and the chocolate milkshake. And probably I didn't need to do this, but I broke down and sung the song, I'll Fly Away. And, you know, I don't want to say that my singing's the best, but Brother Jimmy didn't complain about it. But I loosened God's angels, and I prayed for God's appointed time, that if it was time, not to let him lay there and suffer, not to let him lay there, because sometimes things can drag out for weeks or months. And I just asked God to have mercy on it. And a little while later, Kitty and them just came back, and we hung out with them, and I prayed that same prayer and with them. And they said, well, we'd like him to still be here in the morning when his son gets here. But a little while later, I heard he got to talk to his son, or his son got to say something to him on the phone, and he went home to be with the Lord. And, you know, not all the time am I at the right place at the right time. But I believe every Sunday morning when I'm supposed to be in church, and I'm here, whether I feel like being here or not. I believe every time God tells me, hey, go pray for somebody. I believe God's told me to use this scripture also. In Deuteronomy 1 and verse 11, and this scripture's for everybody in this room. When he puts it up there, I'm going to read it. And may the Lord God of your ancestors multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as he promised you. I tie this in sometimes with money, but money's not the best thing to tie it into. $1, $1,000, 1,000 time blessing, 1,000 time fold. But what about the anointings on your life and the gifts and callings on your life? If you were able to speak about Christ to somebody at work, or better than that, if they were sick and you were had the faith to lay hands on them and rebuke the devil off their marriage, and instead of them getting divorced, they stayed together. You know, God's got somebody special for you. It'd be real nice to be at the right place at the right time. If God had your significant other coming to this church and you decided that was the Sunday that the plague hit you and the croup and I couldn't be there, man, I have a sore throat right now. I've been having these symptoms all week. Now, my wife got the symptoms first, and I got a thing of antibiotics, but I donated to her, and I did get them for her, but I sure complained about it because I thought maybe I needed them. But, you know, I'm believing God for a total healing right now in my throat and my body. And I'm believing God's got the best for everybody. Is anybody up for a 1,000-time harvest? May the Lord make you 1,000 times more. If you've won one soul to Christ, if you've got a couple kids to Christ, 1,000 more kids. Can you do that in your lifetime? Amen? Man, one of the latest things that's blessed me is little brother Noah wanting the Bible and coming up for prayer. And I had seen him that Sunday morning, and he was just a little aggravated about something. And I try to be nice with these kids, all of these kids. If you notice the two kids that were with Katrina this morning, that little girl, I try to give her candy. I try to give her ice cream. I try every sweet, and she just gives me the what for look. But now finally I got her to take some Reese cups. My wife was almost going to beat me. I was giving all her Reese cups away just to try to get this kid to like me, and I think the kids still don't like me. But the little boy is autistic, and the last time he was here, he drove everybody crazy. He was in the nursery, but today he wanted the oil. I mean, but he was over there with his hands up, worshiping God. He was clapping for the song. And I texted his mom and said he was blessing me. He was worshiping God. And she goes, we do that every morning before school. We get up and dance and worship God. And so, I mean, that was a little blessing to me. Now, Katrina was stuck babysitting him for 24 or 48 hours. I don't think she was as blessed with him as I was. I was just good to see some kids in church. But in Hebrews 12 and verse 5, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. I've been in the Lord's correction for as long as I got saved, since 1992. And I don't know, I don't think I hold the Guinness Book of World Records, but Pastor will correct me in a heartbeat. And anytime he's corrected me, he showed me the Bible and showed me where if I continued in that life, it would not prosper. And that if I would try to change my life and do better, I would prosper. And so far, I rather like prospering than not prospering. And I haven't got it all figured out right, but when the Lord disciplines me, that just means I'm a son. And I'll try to put my ears back anytime and try to do my life better, whether it's with finances, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in my personal life. And I started out hating my job a bunch of years ago, but now I'm realizing that my job is one of the ways God blesses me. And whether you work for Walmart or Tyson or the nursing home, even if that job is the worst job in the world, if you'll just do that job to the best of your ability and you'll ask God and say, God, I can't take it here no more. Isn't there something better for me? God loves you. You're his child. He's wanting you to learn something there. Maybe there's a spot there that you're supposed to be there at appointed time to lead somebody to Christ. But you got to find that out. But the devil's trying to mess with your mind, saying, oh, this job stinks. You need to quit. You know, you don't have to listen to these bosses. My gosh, you got to listen to your bosses. You got to follow the rules. It starts with God. The little things at work, man, you got to have a job if you want a car, if you want some gas, if you want some clothes, if you want to be able to tithe and support your church. But you know, if things get real bad, God don't want you to be abused either. And God will open another door and allow you to walk through it. But you have to learn wherever you're at. And then the next one is Hebrews 12 and 15. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up, troubling you, to trouble you, corrupting many. And in the King James, it talks about don't let a root of bitterness spring up in you over something somebody's done to you, whether it's a boss, whether it's a person, whether it's a mom, a dad, kids. Because I just said hi to a guy the other day and invited him to the church, asked him how it was going, and he spit out more garbage on the church he came from in 5 minutes. That should have been in the Guinness Book of World Records. And I said, well, come to our church and just relax and enjoy a service. And but, you know, the guy's been hurt. The guy feels like he's been done wrong. And, you know, anytime I feel like I've been done wrong, if I believe Tommy done me wrong, I'd go talk to Tommy about it personally. I wouldn't go talk to 15 other people, and me and Tommy would work that out. Just like Pastor said a while ago, whoever was angry, everything gets worked out. And usually the pastor's in the middle gets stuck with it all on the working out thing. Anybody ever heard anybody that was bitter and just angry and just they wanted to spit out garbage about the situation, didn't have nothing good to say about nothing? Usually if you're dealing with people that are trying to get over drugs, well, I used to be like that with my children's mom. Everything in my life that ever failed was her fault. Then one day I got sober and I got saved, and I realized that you can't be a drug addict beating a woman in the head and expect her to stay with you. That part of that, her leaving me, was actually my fault. And when I repented to her at a funeral that I was preaching some years later after I got saved, God lifted a bunch of garbage off me and made me a brand new person. And now that don't mean I'm real best friends with that ex-wife, because, I mean, I still don't agree with some things that she did. It just means that I'm no longer held by that root of bitterness or that root of unforgiveness, that root of sin, because God wants us to walk in forgiveness. And that don't mean that if you got an ex-husband that's a jerk that you move him back in and say, okay, let's roll the dice again. It means that you just try to walk in love to the best of your ability. And you may not be able to be around a person like that. I mean, I find people that if I can't be around them, I'd rather not be around them. People at work, unsaved. But the saved, full of bitterness. You know, I'm expecting people at work that don't know Jesus to be full of bitterness and hatefulness, meanness, anger. But I'm not expecting that when I come to church, but sometimes we got it. Sometimes we're mad at each other. I'm just talking about my family. I don't know if I'm talking about anybody else. Right, Brenda Bay? Just our family. It might be a little bit of... And you know, the one thing about laying every weight down that holds you back. See, the weights that are holding us back, we have the power to just cut the strings and the weights come off. We have the power to say, God, take this lust out of my life. Cut the strings and not look back. And if you look back, ask God to forgive you again and cut the strings. We have the power to say, God, I'm angry. I don't feel like I got a fair deal. I don't want to be like this, God. I don't want to be angry. Cut the strings and lose the weight. Not to be bitter. You know, the last scripture I think I have is Philippians 2 and verse 12. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions. Now, when I read this earlier when I was studying, Pastor asked me if I wanted to share yesterday. I didn't have a lot of study time, but this really struck me really good. Dear friends, you've always followed my instructions. And it's Paul talking to the Philippians. If he was talking to me, he'd say, Sam, you've never followed my instructions, but this one time will you get your miserable life right, Sam, and follow my instructions? Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. And we say this all the time, work out our salvation. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But these guys, they were obeying God. And like, and the things that we're not obeying God, we got to confess, get out of our life and do better. But that's working out our salvation, and that's what I've been doing at Parish Christian Center for the last, since 1994, I believe. No, I came in 92. I came in 92, May of 1992. I got saved down the street, the little Assembly of God that's the lighthouse. But since 1992, every day since I had Christ come into my life, I've been working out my salvation, and now we're working it out here together. And I'm not the man I was 27 years ago, but I'm not the man God's making me to be tomorrow. I'm a mighty man of God. And whatever God tells me to do, He's making me 1,000 times more than I am right now. He's making me 1,000 times more than I am every day that I wake up. Every day that I just say, God, not my will, but your will. Not my will, Lord, but your will. And when you can do that, every day you can expect that 1,000-day harvest. 1,000 times more. 1,000 times more. That's it, Pastor.
Praise God. What a good word. Sam was preaching the last part of that message and talking about the root of bitterness. I thought about a root canal. And this one fact. That has to be exposed and taken out for the pain to stop. Right before we just speak on that for a moment, I noticed how many of your children, my children, came up here and sat in these chairs. And I want you to understand that your children are understanding spiritual concepts to come up here. And they're just children. And if you continue, you're going to give them the best gift. You'll give them a life with Christ. Amen? Bitterness usually has pain with it. And some people try to beat the dentist. They don't have the money. They don't have the desire. They're in denial. They'll put an aspirin on their tooth. They'll try to do different things. But sometimes people just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they need a root canal and they're ready for it. And with very little hoopla, does anybody have a root of bitterness that's causing you pain, number one, and number two, you're ready to let the doctor take care of it. Stand up now. Now I'm already standing up, and I don't have a bad one, but I've got a little one, and I want it to be removed from me. You know what? Life makes bitterness, doesn't it? Father, you see everybody that's standing. Help them, Lord God. Help them with the anger, the depression, the sense that they were wronged, that they were hurt. Lord, we give all of that hurt and pain to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And now will everybody stand and we'll dismiss the service? Did I forget to do anything? I said something about... I'm sorry? I hope you can come. I hope you want to come. If anybody wants to come and they don't have the money, see me and we'll make sure you get to come. Saturday at 6 p.m., it's going to be a wonderful time. We've done it for many years. We found a place in Clarksville that we may want to have our Sweethearts Banquet at next year. It's called Casper's. Has anybody heard of Casper's yet? It is a nice place. And we may talk about changing that. We'll see. And what we could do is bring the church bus down here and people that need a ride, well, we'll just take you up there to Casper's. But we love what we've got here. They have some kind of a banquet hall there, and they were explaining it to us. But the main thing is, I mentioned about singing with you. You know, we know what we need to do. And you know, when we know we're family is when we do, as the old Beatles song, we can work it out. Yes, try to see it my way. Da, da, da. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time. I'm having a moment where I remember part of the words. For fussing and fighting, my friends, I have always thought that it's a crime. I forgot the rest of it, but that you get the idea. Let's just, everybody say, work it out.
Work it out.
All right, would you lift your hands with me and let me bless you because you're wonderful. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and deliverance and everything that you need to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers in Jesus' name. Amen.